If you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn me to the book of Luke chapter 12 this morning, please, as we stand and we open the book. Luke chapter number 12 and verse number 1. The infallible text says, "In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisee, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, neither hid that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear in closets shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. And I say unto you, my friends, be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Bless this word, Lord. In thy name I pray, amen. You can be seated. Probably the most controversial doctrine in all the Bible is the doctrine of eternal retribution. Or another word for it is hell. It is missing from the pulpits in this country, from the seminaries and Bible colleges. Hell is no longer mentioned. It's archaic. It's anachronistic. It belongs to a different age. We're too enlightened today to hear it. We're too smart. We know too much. We certainly don't believe in the doctrine of hell. That is, we speaking in the general sense of this perverted culture that you're part of. I believe it. When you look at the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, you'll find that it begins in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter number 32. You'll find that it runs all the way through the book of Revelation, where there is a place where the unsaved go. You'll find the Bible has much to say about hell. But nobody ever walked the face of this earth and lived here that preached more on hell than that lowly Galilean, that great teacher of the Jews, the one who set the example for us, the great master. No, the one who preached more on hell than any man that ever walked on the face of this earth is the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he gave to you in the book of Luke chapter number 12 is as clear as it possibly can be. He said, "Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Now we live in a time when men boast and they brag and they arrogantly affirm that there is nothing beyond the grave. I marvel at the ignorance of a man who would set forth and say to you that he knows the unknowable. There is no way that any human being that is walking the face of this earth can tell me what lies beyond the grave. I'll look back at you, sir, and I'll say you're a fool if you profess or if you have the audacity to say to me that you know what lies beyond the grave. You don't know. You don't know. But the Bible tells us what lies beyond the grave. If you're a Bible believer, you are told and instructed right off the bat that there is something that awaits every human being that leaves the face of this earth. Either they go out into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and they belong to Him, or they go out into an eternal damnation and the Lord called it hell. If the Bible uses that terminology, then I can stick with the book and I can say to you, I believe the Bible, and so therefore I believe that I know what lies beyond the grave. You don't die like a dog and they bury you and it's all over with and you're forgotten and that's all there is to it. No, sir. No, sir. Somebody told you that doesn't know what he's talking about. Once again, the arrogant profess to know the unknowable. They profess to see what can't be seen. They profess to be what cannot be, my friend. I know what lies beyond the grave because I have a Bible and I believe the Bible. And I know the Lord Jesus Christ because I know He's real. He lives in my soul today, saved me, wrote my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. There's not one shred of doubt in my heart that the Lord Jesus Christ is alive in eternity. He sits at the right hand of the Father in majesty upon high, and He's able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him. There is a name that is above every name. At the name of Jesus, I know that name. I know the one who bears that name. I know the Savior that died on the cross. I know Him without a question, my friend. I met Him in 1973. And if He is as real as I say He is, and He is, He lives if I say is, as the Bible says He does, and He does, then what He said about hell, I must accept it for what He said. He preached more on hell than anybody that ever lived on the face of this earth. It is a real place, my friend. It's somewhere that you're headed. If you're a Christ-rejecting, godless, hell-bound sinner, I want you to understand, it's not my doctrine. I didn't create the place. It's what the Bible says. Whether I'm here, whether I'm gone, has nothing to do with the fact there is a hell, and it's where you do not want to go. The Lord Jesus Christ used the strongest term that He could possibly use. He said, "Yea, I warn you." He's trying to say to you, you better listen to what He's got to say. "Yea, I warn you. Don't go to that place. Yea, I warn you. Fear Him. There is one that'll take your soul and cast it into hellfire. There is one that holds all power, and His name is Jesus." And my friend, when you come to the end of this road and you breathe your last breath, you'll leave planet Earth and you're going to go somewhere. Either you're going to go to hell or you're going to go to heaven. There is a reality that is called hell. There are those that do not believe it exists, but 5 seconds after they die and take their last breath, they'll know that hell is real. It's a horrible thought to think of the shock that will be upon the soul of so many as they've mocked and they've made fun. They've laughed in the face of God and they've ridiculed you as a Bible believer. But 5 seconds after they leave this world, they'll be screaming in hell, fire, and damnation. Hell is a place of torment. The Bible said it is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the Scripture says it is a place of outer darkness where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. The Bible uses all the terminology to try to get your attention because you're going to leave this world. It's going to be a shock. It'll be a shock to a lot of people. The thing that they made fun of, the word they used over and over and over again in this world, will become a reality to them. Hell is a reality. Who goes there, preacher? The lost, the lost, the lost, the lost. He said, "I came to seek and save that which is lost." Either you're saved or you're lost. The lost go to hell. Oh, the thought of it, the sound of it. I am lost, I am lost. I am undone, I'm unclean. I'm lost without God. And that's the one that goes to hell. He came to die upon a cross so that you could be saved. Is hell real, preacher? I guarantee you, if you leave here without the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll know it for certain. And you won't be able to change one thing about it. You'll be there. There's an experience of a place that is called hell, and it's a horrible experience. You say, "Preacher, how could a God that loves send us to hell?" He doesn't send you. There's no place for you to go but to hell. You can only rise into the presence of God by the Lord Jesus Christ because of who He is and what He's done for you. Hell is a bottomless pit, the Bible says. And so when a soul dies without God, they'll find themselves falling head over heels down deeper and deeper and deeper. And the deeper they go, the Bible says, they go into the lowest hell. It talks about a place so deep in hell that the angels that kept not their first estate have been cast into that. Hell is a place of torment. I believe one of the worst torments of hell will be the memories. You remember where you've been. You remember what life used to be. You remember the sunrise and sunset. You remember what a cool drink of water was like. You remember the sound of children laughing. And you remember the words that you heard. Hell is for Christ rejectors. The Bible is quoted more in hell than it is in the pulpits today. Oh, the word, how it must work upon the heart of that one who rejected Christ. These kids are singing Amazing Grace. If you were to die this morning without God, you'll hear that song throughout eternity. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. It didn't save a wretch like me, for I'm in hell. Oh, another chance, God. Just one more opportunity to hear the gospel. Just give me an opportunity. Let me come back one time and and I'll be saved. But it's too late now. The finality of hell is one of the worst things about all of it. You can't come back. As you go, that's the way you'll stay. As you leave, that's where you'll be. As you leave this world without God, into hell you'll go. Head over heels, falling, falling, as the flames rise around you, and you burn and you scream, and you beg and you're tormented from the presence of God forever. The Bible said the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. I'm only quoting the Bible. I didn't make this up. I didn't write this book. I'm just preaching what the Bible says. I know you don't ever hear it, but it's the word of the living God. It makes salvation sweeter. It makes you think about what you got in such a different light. When you compare what God did for you and how the blood washed your sins away, salvation takes on an entirely new meaning. For you've been saved from hell. You don't have to go to hell. You've been washed in the blood of Christ, and hell will not be your home. You say, preacher, is this real that you're talking about? Is hell really real? It's more real than you are, friend, because they've been in hell for thousands of years, and they've been screaming in hell, fire, and damnation. What can I do not to go to hell, preacher? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's a name that's in this church. That's a name that's in hell. I believe right now they're screaming the name of Jesus in hell, but it won't do them any good. It's where, my friend, the worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched, and you continue to fall deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper into hell, fire, and damnation. Sometime or another, when you wind up in the pit, it will finally settle into your soul that you're condemned. It'll finally grasp you of where you are. Can you imagine, dear friend, waking up sometime in such a horrid place like that? You've made such a huge mistake. You followed the wrong one. You listened to your reverend. You listened to your professor. You listened to men, but you won't listen to God. The Lord Jesus Christ went to a cross. He died a horrible death on that cross. He shed His pure blood so that you could be saved. He didn't save you to prosper you. He didn't save you to make you look great within yourself. He didn't save you to make you another religious figure. He saved you from hell. Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. He saved me from hell. He came to me in 1973 and He saved me from hell. Dear friend, have you been saved from hell, or are you afraid to die? I'll guarantee you they put on a show. They act so tough and so strong. But the truth of the matter is, there is a fear of darkness that pervades the human soul. What is tomorrow? What does death hold for me? Is there truly life after death? Oh, they affirm there is none. They say for sure they know. But my friend, if you're a thinking person, if you have half a brain, you'll say, how could you know what lies beyond the grave? But I do know. I know what the Bible says. It said, fear Him. Fear Him. Yea, I say to you, fear Him. Fear Him. Do you fear Him? We have our modern theologians, so-called, who tell you that you don't fear God. Well, let me tell you what that Bible says. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of... You better believe it, friend. Amen. The Lord Jesus said, don't fear Him that can destroy the body or kill the body. Yea, I say to you, fear Him. Let me read it for you again. Fear Him, He said. Yea, I say to you, fear Him. I believe that that contrasted with such a horror of what hell is would say to me, preacher, if I fear God, I'm on the right track. You better believe it is. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? And that wisdom will lead you to salvation. If you're arrogant and you make a mock at sin, and you run your mouth constantly, and you've been pumped up, brainwashed by this culture, and you assert there is nothing beyond the grave, I'll have to look at you and say, I'm sorry, you're nothing but a fool. Even if I wasn't even saved, I'd still look at you and say, how can you be so certain that you know what lies beyond the grave? How can you be so sure of the unknowable, yet you've based your whole future on a lie? I can hear it as it bounces off the walls of hell. as they scream in dejection and condemnation, lies, lies, lies have been lied to. All lies, lies, lies. The Bible said, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Have been saved. Ain't going to hell. Hallelujah. Ain't going to hell. I've been washed in the blood of the crucified one. Ain't going to hell. You can't take me to hell. Power's not in your hands. I know whom I have believed. I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I'm not going to hell. I deserve hell. Oh, I worked hard to go there for 27 years. I deserved all the hell God had ever poured on me. But Jesus took my hell and paid my sin debt that I might go free. Now, friend, please listen to me. Some of you will walk out of this house today just like you walked in, completely unsure of where you're headed in your future and the future of your soul. You'll get caught up in this make-believe world around you. These people live in a sham, a contrived happy existence, staying busy, running and searching for they don't even know what. And they won't stop 5 minutes to think about where they're going to go when they die. And they could die before the sun goes down. Are you ready? Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. That's the sweetest name I know, Lord. I know you. And I know you as my Savior. But there's somebody in this house today who heard this. And God, they don't know. And they're worried. And they're fearful. And they're afraid if they die, they'll go to hell. Oh, it's so wonderful this morning, Jesus, that before they walk out of this house, they can know they're saved. Holy Ghost, do your work, Lord. Do your work, Holy One. Do your work. I'm just the messenger. Do your work. In Jesus' name, let's stand and sing, brother.
It's 314 in your All American.
Dear friend, I'd run to this altar. I'd run down here and I'd bury my head under something. And I'd cry out to God with everything in me. God, save me. I don't want to go to hell. As you die, that's how you'll stay. Won't you come? Come on. Come on. People are so brainwashed, mesmerized, like they're in a trance. TV has put people in a trance. You can't break through to them. It's got you brainwashed. Your mind is completely tied up with the here and the now, and not eternity. I just preached about eternity to you. You could be in eternity tonight. Where will you be? With Jesus or in hell? Let's sing, brother. Yes, sir. Amen. Amazing grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Hallelujah. I was going to hell, but I'm not now. Oh, the grace of God broke through the darkness. Yes, it did. The grace of God got my attention. How precious! How precious! The hour I first believed. Do you remember what it was like when you first believed? Oh, how I love Jesus. Sing on, brother. I've already come. Talk to him, brother. Talk to him. Be safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. Oh, yes, we'll sing and shout about grace forever. The horror of hell can only be contrasted with the glory of heaven. Sing God's praise. As the life of God unfolds inside your soul and rolls out the future in front of your eyes, as the life of God begins to manifest itself to you in a way that you've never known it before, then you'll begin to understand, oh, what I was and oh, what I am, how far He brought me from and where He's taken me to. Bless the Lamb! Bless the Lamb! Bless the Lamb! Worthy, worthy, worthy is the Lamb. Salvation was just the beginning of what He'll consummate one day when the glory of God is manifested and that image is permanently stamped in your soul. And you'll never, my friend, be the same again. Heaven is so far above hell as God is above His creation. Sing another verse, brother. Right before I got up to preach, when I was sitting right over here, the power of God came over me and doubled me down. I don't know if any of you were watching me or not, but I couldn't even raise my head. This was God's way of affirming to me. Now, son, for 3 days I've carried this. 3 days I've carried it on my soul. 3 days I've carried this message. This was His way of saying to me, now you do what I've called you to do, and I'm going to give you what you need. Glory to God, hallelujah. I know that power when it comes down. I know what that is. Somebody heard this morning, maybe your last call, your last opportunity, the last gospel you'll ever hear, and you'll never hear it again. Lord help you. Don't turn Him away. Sing another verse, brother. Won't you come? We have an enemy. Man, do we have an enemy. We have an enemy. Satan has done strange things to me in the last 2 or 3 days. Just strange things. Because he knew what I was about to preach. He came against it, but he couldn't stop it. The Word of God's not bound. Hallelujah. Now, if you heard the truth this morning, you did. Do something about what you heard. You're going to leave this world. You're going to leave this world. You're going to leave this world unprepared or ready to meet Jesus. Which one will it be? It's your choice. Do you know the most precious thing you have, dear friend? It's not that money in your pocket. It's not that house you own or that car. What would a man profit? What should it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his what? Now, friend, as far as I'm concerned, apart from your soul, the greatest possession you have is will, volition. You can choose. God gave you that. Now everybody will make a choice. Everybody's made a choice. Everybody in this house has made a choice, including me. We've made choices, every one of us. We'll meet again this evening at 6 o'clock for the evening service. If we're here. If we're not here, you look for me shouting as we're going up. Amen.
Amen.
I'll pass you shouting as we go up.